done that. Most of the time, safety means there weren't a lot of discussion. Most times, safety means things pretty quiet. We just want to hurry up and get it done. So we're going to have a safety meeting tonight. We're going to hurry up and get it done. Everybody follow me? I'm trying to prepare you.
Yeah.
All right. We have many needs tonight. So far, I've been preaching to myself, and I will tonight. I'll preach to myself. And if you want in on it, you'll just have to get in on it. I preached to myself this morning on unforgiveness. I preached to myself last Sunday night on a desperate plea of revival. I preached the other Sunday morning on words. All these things I've been preaching to myself. All right? The reason being is because I'm no better than you. Everybody understand that? I'm as guilty as anybody over anything that is in the Bible. I want you to understand that. And I need revival. And I'm going to be your pastor. And I'm going to try to help you and help me along. I told the gentleman this evening, I'm just a member of Mount State Baptist Church. That's all I am. Now, my job is a pastor, but I'm just a member of Mount State Baptist Church. All right? Got one vote. It's all God. Just got one vote. Everybody understand that? It's all God. I got opinions, and I was shown a picture of my opinion. I'm in a little car, and here comes God's word and my opinion, and the train runs over the car, and my opinion didn't mean nothing. That's what a good friend showed me a picture of that this evening. So I just want everybody to know we're all in this thing together. Is we all right with that? We're all in this thing together. So let's... Hebrews chapter 3 is where we'll be. Hebrews chapter 3. All right, let's pray together. Father, we need you tonight. Lord, everyone in this church house needs you. And Lord, we're all equally helpless without you. But Lord, we're all equally helped with you. And we just can't beat you, that's for sure. You're wonderful to us. Lord, I ask you tonight to cleanse my heart, my mind, anything that is like sin in any way. Lord, I ask you to remove it. Help me to be clean with you just now as I handle your word. I do not want to handle it deceitfully. Lord, I want to handle it honorably. And Lord, I pray tonight that thy word will speak to our heart this evening. Please help us to speak to our heart that we'll be changed in a repentant way. Lord, help us not just to say, huh. Lord, help us to repent, I'm asking, and be clean with you. We'll thank you and praise you for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's look at some things tonight. All right, Hebrews chapter 3, let's start at verse 12. It says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. We'll use all of that, but I want to really use that middle verse there, verse 13. But exhort one another daily. But exhort one another. That's encourage, lift up, help. We can use a lot of words there to back up, to aid, many things there. But exhort one another daily. While it is called today, now look why. Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. We're going to dwell on that deceitfulness of sin tonight. And we got to be careful that we're not hardened to the deceitfulness. Now, listen to me. The deceitfulness of sin. Sin is deceitful. The enemy is deceitful. All right? Think about that. Deceitful. And we must be careful. So I'm trying tonight to exhort you not to be hardened to the deceitfulness of sin. There are several things we need to be sensitive about. We need to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. We ought to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost that we understand clearly when He's speaking our heart and our mind, when He's moving us, drawing us, guiding us. We ought to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God. We ought to be sensitive to His Word. That as I read His Word, that I'm sensitive enough that it speaks and tears down any barrier that I might have set in front, that this Word speaks directly unto my mind and my heart, that I might follow the way the Lord would have me to walk. So I need to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost of God and sensitive to the very Word of God. But then I need to be sensitive to sin. I need to be scared of sin. Right. Amen. Yeah. All right? Philip, it was before he was in his wreck, he was he had the crazy strength. He was just so strong, he didn't know how strong he was. But he was scared to death of a spider. I mean, a 200-pound man, 6'2", should not be scared of a spider the size of the end of your finger. Right? There's a good friend here, I won't call his name, his name's Dave Butler. A grown man, a wise grown man, is scared to death of a snake. He don't just, it ain't that he don't like snakes. He is terrified of a snake. He'll jump at a picture of a snake. He'll cry over a snake skin that's been dead 20 years. Right? We ought to be that way over sin. We ought to be scared of the tiniest sin. We ought to be scared of the tiniest mistake that we can make. It ought to frighten us and chill us to the bone when we go contrary to the way God would have us go. If it's even an inkling, we ought not ever walk on the edge of life or on the edge of wrong and right, but we ought to stay back, way off from the edge, because I'm scared to get over that. There's many scared of heights and many scared to get on the roof. And when I was young, I never paid no mind. I've hung by not safety belts. I've hung by straps that you ain't supposed to get on and tie my leg around it and hang upside down and weld on a piece of catwalk that's 25 foot up in the air. I've hung on a lifting strap, sit in it, and paint two-story belfries at the church house at Mount Lookout, riding on a boom truck, completely illegal, completely crazy. Now, I don't know whether I ought to get on the first rung of the ladder. It ain't because I'm a coward. It's because I'm learning to respect the danger. And I'm afraid we forget we've learning and respecting the danger that sin has that's out there. Listen, the world is full of sin. It's full of sin. Listen, the world is full of sin. And the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And nobody in this church house knows what you're capable of doing because of the deceitfulness of sin. Whether it be me, Brother Rick is one of the greatest Christians I've ever met, but he is as likely to fall as anybody else. Do you understand tonight that David was a man that loved God, but yet he fell? Samson was the strongest man in the Bible, and yet he fell. Solomon was the wisest man in the Bible, but he fell. We better be careful because of the deceitfulness of sin will ruin us if we're not careful.
Amen.
It'll catch us, and there it is. There's nothing good about sin. There's nothing okay about sin. There's nothing acceptable about sin. It's not little sin and big sin, but it's everything that's against a holy God tonight. And we need to be careful because of the deceitfulness of sin. Are you understanding me? And I want to exhort you. Exhort one another daily. While it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Alright, so that's what we're going to preach on for a minute. The deceitfulness of sin. Sin is described throughout the Word of God as deceptive, hiding its true destructive nature. And if sin is not resisted, it can lead to a hardened heart and a spiritual downfall. It'll slip up and tear you down, and you'll look around and wonder what happened.
Exactly right.
That's what'll happen. No one is prepared for the outcome of sin. No one is. No one. You can't know enough of the Bible. You can't walk close enough. You don't know. You don't know. Neither do I. We gotta be careful for the deceitfulness of it. We forget the effect sin has on us all. Alright? It has a hardening effect. Continued sin, listen to me. Everybody in this church house, everybody listening, everybody is not listening. Everybody's listening on live stream, YouTube, everybody that don't listen here, everybody don't listen there, people don't come, people don't tune in. Everybody sin. Everybody does. Alright? But continuing in sin desensitizes the heart. Alright? Steve Dorsey back there, he's welded for him and Gene Thomas. They've welded all their life, probably 75 years, 70 years they've welded. Since they's kids, they've welded. Right? I bet you when you first start a welding, I bet when you strike an arc and them sparks, you jump a little bit when you first started. And they'd go down your shirt collar and you'd throw your hood around, I bet, when you first started. But now, you weld and they'll go down and you smell hair burning where it's burning the hair off your chest. Same sparks, but you've desensitized yourself. You've got used to it. Same way, I do the same thing. Used to be, everybody knows I'm jumpy. I used to be, when the welder would crack, I'd jump. Now, I just turn my ears off and let it burn, and I've burnt my gloves off, burnt my clothes off of me. It'll be all right. Just desensitized to it. If we're not careful, the deceitfulness of sin will desensitize us that we don't even feel the wrong. Are you hearing me? We won't even feel the wrong. Huh? Continued sin desensitizes the heart, making the heart resistant to God's Word, that the God's Word don't penetrate it because we're numb. Huh? It's a misleading effect. Sin is so deceitful, it hides its consequences. Young people, hear me. Young boys, hear me. Young girls, hear me. When I grew up as a teenager, alright, people say, well, things ain't as rough as they was. Some people think it's rougher. Well, y'all know where I was raised. Things was different over on my side of the river. I don't know why. Boys, these boys age 12 and 13 years old, they were making homebrew. Bringing it to school, wearing overcoats and inside pockets, bringing quart jars full of homebrew. They'd be drunk the time they got to school. Well, it was. You know how it was, Garth? You know, when we was in school, you're allowed to smoke. I didn't smoke, but you're allowed to smoke. And they go down to the end of the walk and smoke. Well, some of them smoke Marlboros and Camels, some of them smoke joints. That was during school. When I went to start high school, our high school started 7th grade at Nuttall. Our high school started 7th grade, and before we finished 8th grade year, they made it a middle school, and that's when the Midland Trail started. But 13-year-olds, it was common to have sex. 13-year-olds. 14-year-olds. They were skipping class to go on the nature trail behind the ball field at Nuttall having sex during school. Right? That was normal. It wasn't an isolated occasion. Football practice, track practice, basketball practice. Some of the teams would slip out behind the gym, and the cheerleaders and the ball players would have sex at 14 and 13 years old. Right? You say, well, that's awful. Yeah, it is. It is. But they weren't told the consequences of sin. A lot of pregnancies. The girls I went to school with, the boys I went to school with, that's just an example. A lot of the boys that I went to school with that drank the homebrew, most of them are dead now. One of them shot another man in the back during a... They was high and trading off some drugs, and he shot him. Teenage boys, I'm talking. Car wrecks and all because of being spaced out of their mind, drinking a little bit of liquor, drinking a little bit of beer, smoking a little joint, doing a little drug. Nowadays it's crack and the dope of the day, the fentanyl and all the things that's going on. Nowadays the substance may have changed, but the heart of man ain't changed a bit. All right. And the consequences is never shown. It's never shown. And there's consequences. Huh? Sin always presents itself as pleasant or harmless, but leads to spiritual death all the time. It does. Are you hearing me tonight? We're talking about exhorting one another, lest we be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Right? It has an enticement or a delusional effect. Sin lures people with tempting. The Bible speaks about being tempted. And we are tempted when we're drawn away with our own lust. What the Bible says. Everybody still with me? It lures people with temptation, but it makes false promises. Sin makes false promises. That it'll be okay. That it'll be fun. That nobody will know. That's what sin does. Sin's deceitful. Sin is deceitful. Big sin, little sin, no, just sin is deceitful. Huh? Sin is deceitful. Sin creates a false sense of security. Security in wrongdoing. Are you hearing me tonight? The deceitfulness of sin. It has the addiction and slavery effect. Trisha, I wish I had that thing you was telling me about on addiction, on the addict. I wished I had that tonight. I told you I needed that, and we never did get back with me. I'd read that tonight about how an addict gets started. Huh? You know, no one that's addicted to anything started out saying, boy, I can't wait to get addicted to this. They just tried it. But we got addictions of all kinds. I mean, we're down on the addictions of liquor and addictions of dope, and then we got the addictions of sugar, and we got the addictions of caffeine, and we got the addictions of tobacco, and we got the addictions of TV, we got the addictions of cell phones, we've got addictions of all kinds of things, huh? And sin's deceitfulness lies in that it promises satisfaction. Sin always promises satisfaction. But it never satisfies. Because you got to continue in it. You got to have a little more. If you drink a little and you get to where it don't buzz, then you got to drink a little more, and then drink a little more, and drink a little more, and you smoke a joint, and that ain't enough, but then you got to go to crack, and that ain't enough, you got to keep going and going and going, but it promised you satisfaction, but it never does.
That's right.
Never does. It requires more and more frequent sins, never satisfying. That's the deceitfulness of sin. But it's not just in substance abuse. It's any kind of sin. There's sexual sin. Gambling. All right? Now listen to me. The deceitfulness of sin, it's okay to gamble a little bit. You know? Play your bingo. Play your draw boards. Your pull boards. Go ahead. Buy your lottery ticket. Go ahead. Go ahead. Well, I don't see anything wrong with it. You're hardened to deceitfulness of sin.
Amen.
Huh? Go ahead and play your cards. Go ahead. Play for buttons. And play your poker for buttons. Don't hurt nobody. Go ahead. Next thing you know, you'll be praying for nickels. Next thing you know, you'll be praying for quarters. Next thing you know, you'll be praying for dollars. Next thing you'll know, you'll be going to Las Vegas or Atlantic City or the Greyhound Park down Charleston. We're talking about the deceitfulness of sin. You know why it ain't there? Yeah, it is.
Amen.
It is. We ought to run from it.
Amen.
I was taught to run from some things. I wish I was taught to run from everything. There was hypocrisy in my home growing up, like anybody else's. I was taught because Dad drank, because Papa drank, I was taught to run from it. But I was allowed to chew at 10 years old. I was allowed to chew Red Man. Right? Because they gambled, and because my Papa Burst was a gambler, because they lost what little bit of money they made before they got saved, then I was not allowed to have a playing card. I never touched a playing card but one time in my life. And I moved a deck of cards that Cheryl's mother had on the coffee table. I couldn't sit there and court Cheryl and look at that deck of cards. And I picked them up and put them over in the end table because it convicted me to look at them on the coffee table. Because my grandparents and daddy were gamblers. And they made me scared of the cards. I don't even know what the symbols are on a deck of cards. And I don't allow them in my house. Now, I've done other things. I'm just telling you, we've not We've forgotten the deceitfulness of sin. Well, it's just a game. If you don't do this, yeah, I know. I know. And sex is fun as long as you don't get them pregnant. What are we going to say? We can justify everything we do. But it's because of the deceitfulness of sin. Huh? And it never satisfies. Rationalization or justification effect. Sin hides its destructive nature, making it appear harmless, leading to deception and our realization that it's not bothering me. How many drunks you ever talk to and says, I don't have a problem? Anybody here ever talk to a drunk and say, listen, you need me, so I don't have a problem. I can stop anytime I want. Huh? Is that not true? You know, listen, you're doing too much drugs. Listen, I just do this to ease my mind. I just do this to relax a little bit. I can quit anytime I want to. You ever hear that? Huh? But see, it ain't just substance abuse I'm talking about. It's all sin. All sin works the same, but we classify it to great big stuff. But listen, the deceitfulness of sin is killing us. Huh? Well, it don't hurt. Some of these things don't hurt, preacher. Justification effect. Huh? These effects finally result in spiritual death. And we're told to exhort one another daily to guard against sin. We're having a safety meeting. I'm telling you what to guard. I'm telling you what to watch. I'm telling you that the top's bad. It's going to crush you. I'm telling you that it's a live war over there. Don't go over there. It's going to burn you up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh? David always tell me, the preacher, I passed down there. He was. There's a lot of grapevines down there. Make sure. That's one thing that always worried you when I cut timber for you was the grapevine. And I'd do good for the first tree. Second tree, I'd ease off a little bit. By the third tree, I didn't know where it was a grapevine or what it was. You know why? Because I'd hardened myself to the danger that was there. We okay? Sin appears fair, but all sin is filthy. Sin appears pleasant, but all sin is dangerous. Huh? Sin promises much, but sin never gives nothing. Sin promotes God, but it denies His Word. Huh? Sin strengthens egos, but it kills humility. Are you with me? Sin drains you, then kills you. But it does it deceitfully. That's why Paul wrote and said, exhort one another daily, lest you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. The things we face is written in this Bible. Our everyday life is written in this Bible. Do you understand that? That's why it says there in Peter that we have been given everything that's necessary to live a godly life. And this is part of it. Huh? Hang on. We're about done. James 1, 14 and 15 says this, but every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. We got to be careful. Huh? We got to be careful. Now, this is where we're going to hold close to the corn. Alright? And you may not like what I say tonight. I'm not saying it to make anybody mad or anything like that. But I'm going to tell you that you're being deceived in everything I'm going to show you. Like it or not, And you'll say, it don't matter, but I'm here to tell you what I'm telling you is the truth tonight. Modern day dating. My little darling will be okay. Huh? But still ends up with premarital sex. Huh? And it's sin.
Yes, sir.
All right, let me just go ahead and go out on a limb here. If you're around 50, what'd you do when you dated? You're around 50 years old. What'd you do when you dated? Huh? You didn't keep the Bible between you a long ways. Did you? I didn't. Now, I don't know what the young people do now. But, I mean, we're living in a day where a boy don't know if he's a boy and a girl don't know if they're a girl, so I don't know what they do today. I can't really answer that. Do you think they'll do different than we've done? It's natural. When a boy touches a girl, their brains turn off. Now, granted, they don't have much anyway. But they turn off. And they only go by feeling. How plain do I need to get? Any of that is sin.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
And it needs to be repented of.
Amen.
Cell phones and too much time.
Amen.
I got self-control, don't matter. How many, be honest tonight, how many here hooked on, how many of you guys are hooked on pornography? How many of y'all look at dirty pictures on the phone?
Amen, preacher.
Do you? You look? Well, I'm not hooked. Do you look? I got self-control. Do you look? How many of you girls? How many of you women? Huh? Can I ask a question? Maybe y'all can enlighten me. Why do you women go in the bathroom and take pictures of yourself in a mirror?
Amen.
And put it on Facebook?
Amen.
Why do you do that? I understand you taking a selfie, but why do you always go to the bathroom and do it? Now, I'm not on Facebook, but I will occasionally go and look to see what all y'all post, all your stupid stuff you post.
Amen.
I'm asking, why do y'all do that? Now, I've not seen none of the boys do it. But I've seen girls go in a bathroom. And you take a picture of yourself looking in the mirror, and we see the commode in you. Why? Why? You know, I will tell you why. It's because of the deceitfulness of sin. Hey, nobody ought to even know you went to the bathroom. I'm not being funny. I'm telling you what you do. How many of you men and women are hooked on your porn? Maybe it's not full porn. Maybe it's soft porn. Maybe it's just almost naked.
Amen,
preacher. You're right. It's not plumb naked. It's almost naked. That's called adultery.
Amen.
That's called adultery.
Amen.
For if a man look at a woman and lust, then he's committed adultery already in his heart. The deceitfulness of sin. Cell phones and too much time. One of the greatest tools and the biggest block of sin that's ever been carried by man and woman.
Amen.
And we've been slick and we all got it. We've been slick. We've been snookered because we're lazy.
Amen.
We're too lazy to go in the house and answer the phones. And we're too nosy. Cell phones ain't just for calling for emergencies. It's because we're nosy. That's why we have Facebook. It's because we're nosy.
Amen.
Involvement in worldly functions. Parades run by bars. If you go to the St. Patrick Day Parade, put on by the tractor bar, don't tell nobody you go to Mountain State, please, out of respect for me. Because it's sin. All those that participate in the tractor bar parade is sin. And I'm not going to back what's backed by a drunken house. I'm against it. I'm against liquor by the spoonful or by the gallon. I'm again what it causes. The poverty it causes. The abuse that it causes against women and men. The abuse of the children. I'm against it. And our county promotes it. And if there had been a crime somewhere in the county yesterday, we couldn't have found a policeman to help us because they was all in the parade. Because they got their $2,000 for the policeman's fund. And I guarantee you there were some preachers there because they got their $2,000 for the Ministerial Association in Summersville. God help us all. And I got a list of everybody that got their little donation. The deceitfulness of sin. You tell me, Bill, you're a policeman. Maybe you can tell me later on after church. How come it's illegal to have an open container of liquor? It used to be illegal to have it out in public, an open container of liquor. But yet you can stand all over the parking lot at the tractor bar parade and have open containers of beer and cups. But it ain't illegal because you got the policeman going up. Now, you don't explain to me why it's not wrong there. How come you can have it all down here on the city street and on town square and block it off and have open containers of a brewery there, everybody taste testing their beer in front of the courthouse? And we'll tell you why. Because of the deceitfulness of sin.
Amen.
Sunday sports. You're getting slick. You're getting slick. Ain't nothing wrong with sports. Sunday sports is slicking you. It does hurt. It does matter. So I don't agree. I'm sorry. I've dealt with this for years and years. I've dealt with it when y'all was kids. I'm warning you, I'm exhorting you not to be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. You better quit participating in the worldly functions of Sunday sports. I'm telling you. I'm telling you. You better be careful. about your public and Christian school semi-nudity. Better lengthen some soccer uniforms. Better lengthen some basketball uniforms. Better lengthen some volleyball uniforms. You better put some clothes on the cheerleaders.
Amen.
I like all the young girls, all the 12, the 15-year-olds. I like y'all go out and get out there in the back and take off all your clothes and just come out in your underwear. And I want y'all singing in the youth choir. I want y'all go out there now, guys. My fathers, don't y'all get upset. Don't let y'all let them do it in public. We're going to do it in the church house.
Amen.
And we're going to let them sing a special.
Amen.
Let's get the microphone and let them have on their bra and panties and let's sing about Jesus.
Right.
Why not? We're going to let them go out there and show the world.
Amen.
What's the difference? Why can't we do it in the church house? At least we can be Christian and do it. It's the deceitfulness of sin. It's the deceitfulness of sin. Listen, and you're hardening your heart. Worldly music concerts. I know. Listen, I've been sat on a bar stool and picked a guitar. I've been sat on a bar stool and sung. Or I didn't sing, but I played while they sung. I've been with the Yesterday's Lounge and had to get in the corner to keep from somebody wearing my guitar home. I've been played for pissed and cold companies, drunken Christmas parties, and they drag the people off the floor and go to church on Sunday. I've done it. I went to Tracy Hilton and played for Tracy Hilton's Christmas party over at the bar in Beckley. And as they after everybody got comfortable, they were so drunk, they'd drag them off like dragging a deer through the woods. They'd drag them off to the side. Burton Irvin and all them up there at Richwood and Tracy Hilton and all them over in Beckley. Didn't bother me. Yeah. I didn't have no desire to testify on Sunday. I was ashamed to go in the church house. So finally I had to stand on a Sunday morning and openly repent to the people of Mount Pleasant Baptist Church because of where I'd been and what I'd done. Openly stood and said, I've done wrong and I want the church to forgive me because I've been where I didn't have no business being. Never drank a drop. I've never drank a drop in my life. Huh? But I was participating in the worldly music. I don't play it now. I don't listen to it. I don't play it. Huh?
Amen.
You say, well, it don't hurt anything. You're being hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. There's not a country song or a pop song or rock song that and some of this Taylor Swift trash that talks about the sexual acts and all these things. You better listen to the words.
Right.
About slipping out on your husband, slipping out on your wife, getting high with this one, getting high with the... Listen, I've done played it. I know. I ain't no dummy. Go ahead. Do what you want to do, but you're being hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And it's sin that needs repented of. 1 John 2:15-17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Does not the Bible still teach you, tell me, the call to be different from the world, maintaining personal and church holiness? Does the Bible still teach that? Huh? 2 Corinthians 6:14 and 15. Be ye not under the yoke together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath the righteous with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Look at 16 and 17. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. That's still in my King James Bible. It will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Does not the Bible teach separation from unbelievers? It does not mean not to be a friend to sinners, because Jesus was a friend to sinners. A friend to sinners and running with sinners is two entirely different things. But it's a command not to be unequally yoked. That's why you boys don't have no business dating or courting a girl that's not saved. Not only not saved, but they ought to be of like faith, the same denomination, go to the same kind of church. You girls don't have no business courting a boy that is not saved, and don't go to the same kind of church. You ain't got no business. It'll cause you problems. I don't care how much you love. I don't care what anybody tells you. I don't care about your feelings. It don't matter. I'm telling you, if you do it, it's because you're being hardened to the deceitfulness of sin. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteous with unrighteous, and what communion hath light with darkness? Does not the Bible still teach a personal holiness? 1 Peter 1:14-16, as obedient children, not fashioning yourself according to the former lust in your ignorance. Now, ain't that a good verse? As obedient children, not fashioning yourself according to the former lust in your ignorance. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. That's conduct. That's not just speech. That's complete life conduct. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Did not Jesus pray to the Father in John 17, that asking the Father that he would keep us from the evil one that was in the world? Why? Because of the deceitfulness of sin. John 17:14-17, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. We're not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is true. Hebrews 3:12-14. Take heed, brethren. Come on, Clark. Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. The deceitfulness of sin. Are you deceived? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. If he soweth unto the flesh, you shall of the flesh reap destruction. If he soweth unto the Spirit, you shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. You tell me. You tell me tonight. You deceived? Are you being deceived? Are you slipping? Are you living on the edge? Or are you plumb full-blown crazy? Are you living on the edge? Do you need to repent of sin tonight? I'm telling you tonight, we got to be careful lest we be hardened to the deceitfulness of sin. That's our safety meeting for tonight. Oh. Oh, God, help us. God, help us. Father, speak to our hearts even more now. Lord, as we all stand and listen and sing the words of this song, search me, oh God, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's